The title of today's talk is Post-Grant Success Guarantee. This is based on serious work I have done with my advisor Ami Hanani and my collaborator Yoko and Echo Wuranga. But before I get into the detail, I want the audience to have an idea what I'm trying to do here. This is very simple. What I'm trying to do here is I try to find what is the one-to-one theory of a different probe with a toric singularity. Why I like to do this? They have several reasons. The first reason is a study of the string theory in various backgrounds is a long-standing problem. Like we know that for expanding the four-dimensional theory, the theory we live in now, string theory like to consider an extra six dimensions to go to the four dimensions. So this becomes necessary to understand what is string theory in the all kind of computer background. And for general background, it's hard to study. So people first come up with some simple example. The simplest one is blank space. So next simple one is the output of the blank space. So this is initiated by the Dixon, Harry, Wattman, and Whitney in the middle of the 80s. So they studied closely in the output singularity, and then after introduction of a deepening by Professor Joe Pinsky here and in the 90, around 94, it is natural to ask the same question: what happened for open string probe the all kind of background? So so the study of open string in the open singularity is initiated by the Douglas Moore. Later, this work generated by the various group like the Johnson Mayer, Kash Johnson, and Lawrence Microsoft Wafa and Hanif and Muto. The study basically what is the open string probe in the accepted model and gamma is the discrete subgroup of SU2 or C3 model gamma is discrete subgroup for the SU3 like this. And after the study of the open string in the open singularity, it is natural to go next step to study open string in the more complex singularity but still very simple. So the toric singularity come up the natural choice for this kind of study. So this is the first reason. The second reason is like the from the geometry point of view, singularity is more intuitive than smooth space. Like for example, in the language of geometry engineering, if we try to get the map content of some gate group, usually people do is like the ask the map to develop some singularity, such that some cycle can run to the singularity. When the singularity go to when the cycle degenerate go to the volume zero, we can get a massless field. So from this point of view, the singularity of the geometry is more interesting for the study of the field theory. And the third reason is the LHC safety correspondence. Like the most known example is the LHC 5 cross S5 with the N equal 4 UN or SUN supersymmetry theory in four dimensions. But as we know that the next symmetry, the reach of the physical phenomena. So it's interesting to study the this kind of corresponding for the less symmetry case. And for example, study LHC 5 called some X5. As X5 is a space, some less symmetry than X5, so supposedly less symmetry. And the toric singularity case come up to as an example of this kind of LHC safety corresponding. And the corresponding is the A equals 1 supersymmetry. The last really is study what is what one say or PQ fibrin set web.
I just have to pose a silly question. I saw the generic singularity as a conical singularity is in collabial implication. So when you're talking for singularity, what precisely can you give little case of your latest definition? Is that something like a conical singularity?
Conical singularity is embedded into the general toric singularity. So conical singularity is one single
example of a toric
singularity. Yeah, that's right.
So what other singularities other than orbital singularities, conical singularities you have in mind?
Like like the C3 model, some the end of the abelian orthot, this is also a kind of the singularity.
Okay.
But if the gamma becomes the non-abelian, so it's some overlap. Conifold is one example of the Turing singularity.
Okay.
So the last reason is like the, we try to understand what's the PQ fibrin one theory. Like for brain setup, they have some like the general rule to read out what is the one one theory. For example, like the, if I have two parallel N spring and if I have some different stuff between these two, so we know from the original like handwritten paper, we know how to read out the gate theory. But for the general PQ fibrin setup, this does not have such a ruler, simple ruler. We don't know how to read out the gate theory. However, the PQ fibrin have the natural description in Turing language. So after T duality, we map the PQ fibrin web into the distributing problem such Turing singularity. Then we can use the method I will develop later to capture what's the volume here for such PQ fibrin web. Okay, after introduction of the motivation, I divided my talk into the four part. The first part I introduced the Fourier algorithm. Fourier algorithm means I started from the gate theory, then ask what is model theory, model space of such gate theory. And this method is developed by Douglas Green Moore in his paper. After knowing the Fourier algorithm, then it's natural to ask the inverse problem. If I give you model space, like Turing singularity, then ask what is corresponding the gate theory of the deep in probe Turing singularity. This is exactly the problem I tried to solve at the beginning. This method is introduced here. When we studied inverse algorithm, we found that initially we think like given Turing singularity, this should exist one and only one. Corresponding to the volume theory of the deep ring probe. But after careful analysis of the inverse algorithm, we found it's not. In fact, we found several theories, all that have the same Turing variety as the model space, and all belong to the volume theory of deep ring probe. So this is an important puzzle, how to explain the situation. And at the beginning, we are not really understand what's going on inside, so we name this phenomenon as Turing duality. But later, after careful analysis, we realized the Turing duality is nothing more but a kind of step duality. So in this case, is, although there is a several theory of the water volume theory, but the both flow, all flow into the same fixed point in infinite limit. After this, I give a brief summary and the perspective for future project. Now I start the discussion of Fourier algorithm. Before I start the discussion, I give some background. So first I want to introduce what is Kreuer diagram. Kreuer diagram is not just one way to encode gate theory. So for example, this is given Kreuer diagram. I have the four nodes and I have some number near this nodes. So every node denotes a gate group. And the number beside nodes denote what's the rank of gate group. For example, this node C have the number 3, so it means the have the U3. So whole Kreuer give the gate group is U1 cross U2 cross U3 cross U1. And they all have some line connected to nodes. The line is arrows. This line denotes by fundamental matter content. So for example, this field X4, it starts from C and ends at B. So the charge I write here is C is minus 1 and charge of B is 1. That's minus 1, it means this X4 translates as the anti-bifundamental under the U3 and translates as the fundamental of U2. So
by this simple picture, we encode what's the gaseous and matter content. But this clear theory does not encode what's the superpotential. So for unique fix the theory, we must provide information about superpotential also. Next, I introduce what's the toric geometry. This have the, if you want to learn more detail, they have the good real paper written by Greene. So basically the toric variety, toric geometry we have three ways to define what's the toric variety. So the first way is to use the holomorphic quotient. Like we know how to define the project space like CPN. We define it like the, you start from the CN plus one and you delete the origin and multiply by C star action. This, by this action, we define the project space CPN. And the toric variety is a generalization of this kind of things. Like we start from CM and we delete some subset of CM, then we divide by C star, like P C star action. This method to define the toric variety called the holomorphic quotient. So you see from this naive picture, you see the toric variety just a generation of the project space. However, physically, we realize holomorphic quotient by the second way is called the symplectic quotient. This is nothing more just a two-step to realize the holomorphic quotient. Why is two-step? First, we note that C star is nothing more, but you can write C star as R plus is norm of this factor, and the U1 is a phase space, 0 go to 2 pi, so compare phase factor. Now, after write C star as R plus cross U1, we can realize the quotient by two steps. First step is we modulate the R plus. Mathematical terminology is called the momentum map. Then second step, I modulate the U1 phase factor. So to demonstrate this idea, let me see example. So this CP2 is also like the toric variety. It's like an example. So CP2 in the homogeneous coordinates, they have the Z0, Z1, Z2, three coordinates. So first I use the momentum map to ask to require the norm of the three coordinates, sum equals to theta as a positive number. Then by this step, I choose the orbit on the C3. The second step, I use the U1 phase freedom to like the modify U1 phase factor. For example, this two is equal to each other. So if in this equation, I choose Z0, it's not zero. Then I can use this U1 phase factor to like the fix Z0 as a real number. So by this two step, we realize the holomorphic quotient. And the third step is called the fan. This is used by mathematics most time. So this fan is nothing more just collection of strongly convex regional polyhedron cones like this. So for example, so this step is a given cone in length n. You find his dual cone. This dual cone defines the finite generated semigroup S sigma. And then you find what's the max spectrum of the polyhedral ring, S sigma. And this spectrum give one coordinate patch. Then you group all cones together to become a fan. It means you group all coordinate patches together to give a manifold. So let me see one example. So this example is this just one cone. This cone is so the fan is given by just one cone. This cone defined by the E2 and the 2E1 minus E2. So every node is as a linear combination of the two integer belong to this cone. Now we find what's dual cone. Dual cone have a three generator. The coordinates is coordinates 1, 0, 1, 1, and 1, 2. Then the polyhedral ring is generated by this. That's because I have two coordinates, so it's x, y, and you put the power inside. So this point corresponds to x1, x times y0, and this point corresponds to x times y, this point corresponds to the x1, y2. So you redefine this three generator as u, v, w, and obviously from this one you see have relation as v squared equals u, w, and this is the variety of this cone. And this is nothing more, just the C2 model Z2. Okay, so there have 2 points I want to emphasize. First, that the simply quotient is naturally realized in physics by Witten's linear sigma model, with the Fourier algorithm based on Heavily. I will explain later why this linear sigma model realizes simply quotient. The second is the relation of the dual cone. It's given in general this in this form. Some field product equals some field product of another field. Like for example, here v square equals uw is this form, what I emphasized before. And this later when we do the four atom, you will see this form is natural show in the S term condition. So okay. Up now, I finished the introduction of the background. Now let me start the discussion for Fourier algorithm. Is there any question? Okay, the Fourier algorithm is this. So the input is gate theory, the output is the model space of the given gate theory. So what is model space of gate theory? The model space is given by solution of D term and F term moduli the U1 gate symmetry. So what's the D-term? D-term is this. This is the exact momentum of the simple quotient. You can compare here. You see, this, if you put the D equals 1 for every case, this is exactly the momentum. So if the theory without the F term, then model space is given by naturally by simply quotient. It means this model theory defines toric variety. Because you see the D term realizes the momentum map, and the model U1 gate symmetry is exactly as the model U1 phase factor in the simply quotient method. However, for general theory, this theory does have F term. So the situation is not so simple. The key idea of this Fourier algorithm is that we try to find a way to translate the F term into D term. Then the final series become pure linear sigma model, and we just have F term, we just have D term. And then it's natural why the model is as a simple quotient form or as a toric variety. However, this translation is not always can be done. Let's have two conditions. The first condition is F term must have this form. This form is what I emphasized before, is like the variety in the dual cone language. If F term does not have this form, we cannot translate F term into D term. Okay, let's just see how to translate the F term into D term. So as I said, if the F term helps us dual cone form, then we can solve the X by some new variable Vj and define the K matrix. This K matrix is nothing more, exactly the dual cone data in the cone language. Then we find what's the cone by this condition. What's the physical meaning of this this depth? This physical meaning is that it translates the toric variables Vj into the variable P alpha. As P alpha is nothing more, exactly the final linear sigma model variables. The Vj is defined by this. The next step is that we find what is the field in the final linear sigma model, but we still need to find what's the charge matrix to define, to completely define the linear sigma model. The charge matrix is defined by null space of the Perk delta T. So after this three step, we successfully translate the F2 condition into the D term condition for the some linear sigma model with the field P alpha. However, the origin theory also have D term. The D term is the charge matrix, give a charge matrix for original field XI. And the F term have the charge matrix for the linear sigma model P alpha. So these two charge matrices does not have same footing. So to combine, so the next step we need to combine the F term and D term together and translate everything into the final variables P alpha. So we need to translate, in another word, we need to translate the charge matrix, the original XI, into the charge matrix of the final variable P alpha. So how to do this? We also do this in three steps. The first step is like by this one. This is the charge matrix of original XI. So by this step, this means we translate the charge matrix of XI into charge matrix of the VJ here. The next step, we define this one, define the matrix U. This means we translate the charge matrix of UJ into the charge matrix of the P alpha as a final field in linear sigma model. So combines two steps, we define the QD. This one, this is give the charge matrix of P alpha come from the original D term. So now the problem is simplified dramatic. We have the for the original theory, we translated the F term and D term both into some final linear sigma model. The charge matrix of final linear sigma is given by this combination of the charge matrix come from original F term and charge matrix come from original D term. Now we translate the original theory into a linear sigma model with field P alpha and charge matrix Q. Then the model space is given by toric data defined by this one. Okay, in above the those steps, I want to emphasize two important points. The first point is the FI parameter of the original F term are found to be zero. The second is the toric data, GT is not minimal. Some nodes repeat more than once. I will explain this to meaning later. So some above the operation we can simply write this as a flow channel for algorithm axis. Now to demonstrate the flow algorithm, let me give an example. So this example is like the toric data for the theory problem, the C3 more than Z2 cross Z2. So you see it's a charge matrix for the, but this P1 to P9 is the field of a final linear sigma model. And this three row is a charge matrix come from origin F term. And the three rows, the charge matrix come from origin D term. And this is the FI parameter. Note that the FI parameter come from origin F term is fixed to be zero. Now you can find the torque data by finding the null space of QT. You see, in here, for example, this point 101 is covering two fields, P8 and P9. This is what I call not minimum. For this node, the field repeated two times. And this point is very important to, because like in the Ford algorithm, the Douglas, Green, and Morrison, the claim and deep ring problem say only geometry phase. This closely dependent this repetition here. Okay, I finished the introduction of the Ford algorithm. I'd like to pause a little bit and ask if there are any questions about this.
So you have F terms which you translated to the Z terms.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you know what the F terms are? Are you telling that given a toric singularity, you can there is a way how you can compute what the superpotential is?
Yeah. It's a good question. In fact, this is exactly the ambiguity in the inverse algorithm I will introduce later. And just start from toric data, really does know what is F term, so there must be some way to fix this.
And you will not doubt it.
Yeah, that's right. You are a little advanced. Is there any other question? Okay. So after knowing the four algorithm, it's natural to ask the reverse question. So this is what we call the inverse algorithm. The inverse algorithm is like, I started from the Turk data, like the GT, and I try to find what is corresponding to gate theory. Which in another means we try to find a chart matrix and the K-matrix. K-matrix define the superpotential. So naively you think, we just try to inverse every arrow in for the algorithm. Then we should come up with a solution for the inverse algorithm. But the problem is not so simple. The problem is like the inverse algorithm is highly non-unique because for the algorithm is lots of information. After careful analysis, we found they have four sources of ambiguity. The first ambiguity is the repetition of the Turk points. Like, so for given points in Turk data, we don't know initially how many times it repeats for in the linear sig model. The second one is number of row of the chart matrix in the come from origin F term. This is a new question. The third one is what is subspace belong to the F QF. The last one is the ambiguity of D term. I will use an example to demonstrate the for ambiguity. For example, the same example here. I start from this Torque data. I know Torque data is Z2 cos Z2, and they have 6 points. However, if I just start from here, I don't know which point repeat more than once. And for four algorithm, you know this three is repeated once, and this 3 points repeated 2 times. But if we just start from the Torque data, we don't know this information. So this is the first ambiguity you face when you do inverse algorithm. So even you fix this ambiguity, I say this 3 point repeated times, and I can write a GT matrix here. Then I can find the null space of the GT, get the QT. Okay, I can solve the QT, but this 6 bases, you don't know how many bases generate the subset of the original chart matrix come from original F term. Because this is crucial, for those terms, you must set F apparent equal 0. But just for do the mathematical operation, but for null space, you don't know this information. And the second one, even you can fix this, have the 3 bases generates this QF. You don't know which 3. You don't know if this 3 or this 3. So this is a third ambiguity. The last one is like, even you fix about 3 ambiguity, then you go to inverse algorithm, you find what's D term. The D term solution is given by this. This solution is invariant on the general linear transformation acting on the chart matrix D. For linear, general linear transformation, this doesn't change the solution of D term, but it does change the QL diagram. Okay, facing the full ambiguity, now we ask ourselves how to fix this. And we use the partial resolution method to fix this this ambiguity. This method is used by several groups, like for example, Park, Ravadan, Uranga, and Beasley, Greene, Naroni, and Plesser. What's the meaning of the partial resolution? It means that I give you a torque data D. Then I can find the torque data of the orphan singularity with a big enough k, such that the torque data D can embed in torque data D prime. For this field theory, D prime, because it is easy to calculate what's the what one theory of the D3 prime bring probe-sized singularity. Then we can use a fourth algorithm to calculate what is cosmic QT prime, GT prime of the D prime. In this case, this QT prime and GT prime have some information about the repetition of the nodes, about what it comes from F term, what comes from D term, those kind of information. Then we pass the resolution D prime by node deleting, and in field languages you give the vacuum explicit value for some linear sigma P alpha, then it becomes massive and integrate out, leave other massive field, and then until you reach the toric data D. By this step, you can use the information in QT prime, GT prime to fix the information in the QT and GT.
What's the relation between toric singularity and the orbifold singularity? They're different things, right? You have some orbifold singularity that you're introducing.
Yeah, orbifold singularity. This orbifold is also an example of toric singularity.
But the original toric singularity wasn't toric. I mean, was not orbifolded.
Yeah, not.
How are they related? Is one a blow?
Yeah. Not the exact blow. The
has no direct physical connection with the original singularity.
Mathematically they have some relation. It means you can like delete some of the toric nodes and get it from the orbifold singularity go to toric singularity. But what is the physical meaning we don't really understand, because physically the toric singularity is more complex than the orbifold singularity.
Right. There's in general no simple relation.
Yeah.
Well, the conifold can be obtained from a Z2 singular by flowing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
you get some mass and then you...
Right. You start with I think you're coming off the witness, sorry, I forget the detail, but basically you start with a Z2 singularity and you flow down to a conifold singularity. Can you do that with all toric singularities? Can you flow from overfold to the toric?
We are not clear. It seems there's some similar situation here, but it's more complex. Mm-hmm. And
what does deleting a node mean?
Deleting means in the linear schema, it's just like here. For this field, I choose like the FR parent smartly, such as the field to get a node zero vacuum is the value. Then he get a mass.
Yeah.
Then I integrate out.
So is it like taking the FI parameter to be large for that?
F are very large for some along some direction,
mm-hmm.
Such that some field become massive, some field still remain massless, and then this corresponds to the delete of nodes. But what is this step translated to the original theory?
Mm-hmm.
What is geometry meaning? We not really understand.
And you can embed any toric data.
Yeah, that's right. You can embed any. Yeah. If you choose K big enough, you can embed any toric data into this orbifold. Here is one example, like for example, depth of zero, this is toric data, and we can embed into this recourse as this one. And then you try to change the effort parameter, get rid of the nodes, and then leave only six fields, this method is at final. And by this method, you can fix what ambiguity we made before.
And there is a unique way of embedding toric data into...
No, not exactly. This is the ambiguity. Yeah. Like for example, you embed it here. This is one embedding. You also can embed it here.
Mm-hmm.
And even you embedding, you fix embedding like this. Then you have a three field here. You can delete 13, or you can delete 13, 20. Different deleting will cause a different one-volume theory.
Yeah, it's really like the flow, the flow.
Yeah, it flows along different paths.
Because in some sense, you know what the gauge theory leads on this.
Yeah, initially, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so this is like the one-volume theory. By using the QR diagram, partial resolution, we get what is the QR diagram of depth 0, 1, 2, 3, and Hertzsprung F0 surface. This is the QR diagram here. However, after we find the third decan for the all kind of singularity, we meet the puzzle. The puzzle is here. For the one-on-one theory of the F0, we come up to different theory. One theory found in the last of transparency, and it's another theory given by the Morris and Perez by the geometry operation by the they modulate the conical singularity. So when we see they have two different one-on-one theory, we ask ourselves, which one's correct? And we are really puzzled when we first see this phenomena. And later we realize the answer is that both correct. Because the universal algorithm have a lot of ambiguity. So this ambiguity is it possible and indeed happens. This different ambiguity causes different one-on-one theory at the final inverse algorithm. This is just like here you said a different embedding. And even have a different semi-embedding, have different deleting. This all kind of things come up in the final route. So this is the example we have for the different phase of the given torque singularity. For Hertzsprung, it have two. For depressor 2, they have the 2. For depressor 3, they have the 4 different phases. And this is the general conifold. They have the 2 different phases. Here you see they have the same toric, same curl diagram, but it's not same theory because they have different to the water volume theory, different to the superpotential. This is detail of these two cases. Okay, so before I show toric duality acceptance, let me introduce some result. This result is reached by three group independently. This is a Bisland Pleasure and our group, and a cultural field intrinsic cuts of alpha. We use a different method and emphasize different angle of the same problem. And there's also another paper like the Wu Grandpa in the 97. This paper related the subduality with a geometry operation called the Picard-Lefsch transformation. I will introduce later. So why we come up this this conclusion? So this example I showed before, this is the general conifold. And we say, use the inverse algorithm, say these two theories talk to each other. But for this special case, the general conifold have a very intuitive relation in brain setup. It's by this one. This corresponds to different phase, different theory. And this two theory is related to each other by just exchange place of the NS brain and NS prime brain. And when you show that such operation in brain setup is nothing more but exact subduality operation in the brain language. So at least for this example, we say talk duality is subduality. After not this example, it is natural to ask if this is true for general situation. And for general situation, we does not have the rigorous proof. But for all examples, we found in its transparency. All examples we have, we did use the field theory argument to prove that the all separates to each other. So, because at this moment, we have several non-trivial examples, and no one is like the failed the test, so we are pretty confident that this is a true statement.
What would you call the test here? Just the moduli spaces agree?
In subduality, sub could have some method to derive this.
Basically a low energy statement, the looked
at. Yeah.
So you basically check its modulus, basically.
Not just modulus space. So except with other, the two pairs also have the other information, same like the same chiral ring, the barrel sector, like this things.
So you think that you check?
Yeah, and I can show this detail here, if you like.
No, it's okay. I just want to know.
Like you see the, I can like the scratches. It's very quickly. So you see the subdirectory is this. You have two theory. Mm-hmm. The origin have this one with sub potential. Then you change the rank by this one, and you will define new field and the Mason field and the wide sub potential. And then be like.
So you can
read that. Yeah, I use this method. Yeah.
From the dual.
Yeah, the I use this method to derive. Like for example, I start from the theory given by Morrison and Plesser. This is the meta content, and this is sub potential. Then I dualize the nodes A. Mm-hmm. You see, then this two field new meta content. Note that because I have two XI and two W, so they have four kind of Mason field. And if you write the sub potential, you add this, this comes from the step duality and the original one, rewriting new variables. That's the exact theory I found in the biological group.
So this is cyber-clear duality when you have just gauge product or gauge groups and by fundamentals only, right?
Yeah.
So like, for example, Kutasov type.
Kutasov type, the sub potential is more complex.
Yeah, so you can't see.
Yeah, you.
Okay.
This
so
is
only those who have the product. Yeah. And by fundamental.
Yeah, yeah. For that kind, the so duality.
What about Kutasov stress, where you should be able to see not too.
I'm not sure because for that kind of sub potential, it does not satisfy the condition for the torical variety. So you cannot use the Fourier diagram to calculate them. So this does not belong to the scope we study here. But possibly you can use the geometry engineer method developed by the Cacciaro in Trilingual Cuts and the WAFS paper to come up to these kind of things.
So you're saying that in this case you can at most have a finite number of toric duals?
Yeah, that's it, true. The
so cannot be infinite.
Yeah. The toric dual is finite, but subdual is infinite. You can have the cascade maze case, like the conifold case in the Klebanov and the Strasser. That's the whole loop of the. Okay, so the next I want to introduce how to realize the subduality in the geometry language. So this is a simple rule of a queer duality. This just rewrite the original sub-duality ruler into the queer diagram. So you can start from the queer diagram and really derive what's the queer diagram of sub-dual pairs. So the ruler is very simple. First, you pick out nodes, like this node D, I pick the nodes. Then I change the rank from the NC become NF minus NC. For example, here, this have the rank is 1 and have the two flavors, so rank still become 1 after the subduality. Then next, I divide all the nodes into three categories. So one node is like the up means to have some arrow from the D go up to this arrow, to this node A, like this. And it's yin and no. No means this two nodes does not have any line connected to them. Then after divide this, then we reverse all line connect to this node D. You see this line is initially this direction, and then I reverse direction for this three lines. Then for other line connected to other nodes, we calculate by this way for the nodes belong to I in and nodes belong to I out. Okay, so this is I want this because I try to show you how I can use the PR transformation to redivide the ruler. So with PR transformation, the relation between PR leaf transformation and the step duality is first observed by Professor Ugra and Wafa in this paper. Then later Ito generalized to other case, and then the several group like the Hanania equal, our group, and the Kachar group. It's also of this situation. So let me introduce first what is the basic idea of geometry engineering. So geometry engineering says you have some manifold, then you have some non-trivial cycle. So for every cycle, it gives out one like the gate factor, and then we have some deep ring ramp around cycle several times, like the nk times. Then the nk gives the rank of the case gate group, and then the matter content also bifundamental between these two nodes or between two factors is given by intersection matrix of this the cycle SIS and SJ in the geometry picture. Okay, knowing these three factors, then we can see how to derive separability by Picard transformation. So the Picard transformation is first you pick up a cycle SK, you fix the cycle, then you divide R cycle in three categories. It's like they have positive intersection number, negative, and zero intersection number. It is exactly the same category I divide by the I in, I out, and I know. Then you pick out transmission the cycle according to this. The I cycle is this is the pick out transmission. And this other two cycles is invariant. And then the invariant number of the cycle SK is changed by this one according to this. This is nothing more, exactly NF. So you see the rank changed by the NK minus NF. Obviously it's minus, it means the reverse the direction of the cycle. And then you know what is the ranking number N and what is the new cycle. You can calculate what's the intersection number matrix by using new cycle. And this reproduces the rule I introduced before. So by this way, this just demonstrate that the Q diagrams can generate by this Picard transformation. And then you can kind of use the geometry to calculate the superpotential. This is too complex. I don't really understand how the WAF group did this. But the does show in the paper, the 100 page like that. The geometry picture exactly reproduces the separability. Okay, let me summarize. So what I did here is like I developed an inverse algorithm for general toric singularity. Then I started what is ambiguity and find the toric duality. The last one I showed that toric duality is an example of separability. So what is the future project? So first one is the one to fix ambiguity in the inverse algorithm. I employ the partial solution, but in principle, you can do this without to use the partial solution. You can use all kind of physical condition to fix this ambiguity. And this work is almost finished by our group. And the next is like the generalize the method to non-abelian case. What I mean is like you see like for Ford algorithm, if this like the gate group is simple enough, we can just do this mind mathematical operation to get a modal space. But for general like the gate theory, if the F term doesn't satisfy the original or the rank of the different gate factor is not the same, we cannot use toric method. So it is very good if we can come up with a new method to construct modal space for general situation. Like the some mathematical studies called the spherical toric variety, maybe it's one direction to generalize this. The next one is a better understandable toric method. For example, I emphasize that for the when you do the forward algorithm or inverse algorithm, the toric data is not minimum. Some nodes repeat more than once, and this is a very crucial point to ensure and deeply see only the geometry phase. And
could you explain this? Wait, what's the actually repeating in geometry?
Repetition of the toric data. For same nodes, they have this like the several.
Right. Why is that connected with the
neighboring scheme? If every node just have the show once, then because every parameter you freely change, you can from the negative infinity go to the positive infinity. Then you will come up some no geometry phase in elastic model. But if the repeat more than once, you when, no matter you go with cone, you will find the final torque data only have the geometry phase. And we do not really understand this point at the moment. And, but use this physical condition like the we must repeat some time to make sure this is the only geometry phase. We employ this physical condition in this method to complete the inverse algorithm. But this will be nice if we come some independent to determine how many times you repeat and what is the geometry meaning of the repetition in geometry language. And we are not really understanding the point. The next is a detailed study of the ADC cyclic funding. The last one is a half cyclicality. Because I show that cyclicality can be derived from the Picard transmission. But the Picard transmission is more general than cyclicality. There you can some case that it's two theories related to each other by just the Picard transmission but not torque duality. So it really we ask ourselves what is the relation between these two theories? Is there a new kind of duality in the physical or in physics or just the mathematical operations? Okay, thanks everybody.
I'm going back to the question about tests you can do in the cyclic duality. In the original cyclic duality, you have global symmetries.
Yeah.
It can be Chiral. So you also check for normals, right?
This kind of thing is a detailed study in the Bis and the Plaza paper.
It's the same cap scheme. We don't have global symmetries, right?
We have global symmetry for some. Like, for example,
We
have a check, but the Bisley and Plaza checked. And the check what is global symmetry, the start was the discrete subgroup of global symmetry and show that the match. But the match is not trivial. Some cases the match does not completely. For example, this we will see have this is Z2 cross Z2. And this also is Z2 cross Z2 from the quiver. And this have Z12, but some quiver. This one we quiver draw is not symmetric, but in the Bisley and the Plaza paper they draw in very symmetric way. So we see they have some symmetry for the just from quiver diagram. But it's not every symmetry show like for this if I didn't remember wrong the global symmetry Z12, but for some theory you only see this three or Z4 classically. So the theory they have more interest in this some symmetry and the realized quantum correction. And also like the carrying and also carrying is compared, but for the bionical section you also need to consider the quantum correction sometimes. So it's really a lot subtle point when you study the ADC corresponding. So this is why I make this kind of study very interesting.
This
is done in the Cacciaro and Intrinic and Katz Wasp paper.
So this toric duality was
not exactly the big general picture is that when you do like the wave transmission, sometimes you come go down. It's not torque duality, it's called the large N duality. In that paper, it's large N duality and the sub duality is both uniquely in geometry language as this kind of what is the wave transmission like this. So it's not always go down to sub duality. And their paper is very good. If you're interested about the geometry point of view, you should read the paper. They give a general geometry way, but the geometry is hard sometimes if it does not have good enough for this.